Let's go. So good morning. Good morning to you all. Sunshine out there, not hot sunshine, it's warm sunshine, it's tricky. So we say good morning, we say welcome, we say best wishes. And if you're working at a supermarket checkout, you'll probably say, how's your day been so far? Always at the supermarket checkout. You go in there at 9 o'clock, how's your day been so far? Well, it's been mostly pillow and brekkie, but that's okay. July the 2nd, for me, June seems to have taken a little while to progress. Could it just be that these cold mornings? But something to look forward to. This is the thing that I look forward to every winter. I've got one single flower from my garden, and that is Eureka. That's amazing. And I've got a piece of blossom from a tree just down on Rainier Road. And do you know what? In no time at all, where that single flower was, there'll be many others. And the tree where that particular piece of blossom was will be transformed with more. And that's something for us to hold on to, the promise of things to come. What can come from a little thing? From little things, big things grow. But I'll leave that there. So it's looking blooming beautiful. So what's coming today? Join us in the journey as we get up and get going. As we, not just we, but we, walk the land with hearts on fire. So let's stand and sing. That's a cue for the song. Here we go. I always have trouble. Can we start again? You've got a hum. We'll walk the land. I always have trouble pitching this note. Let's start again. Gives us a chance. One, two, three. We'll walk the land with hearts on fire, and every step will be a prayer. Hope is rising, new day dawning, sounds of singing. Burning bright across the land, hearts are waiting, longing, aching for awakening once again. Let the flame burn brighter in the heart of darkness, turning night to a glorious day. Let the song grow as our love grows stronger, let it shine, let it shine. One, two, let's go. We'll walk for truth, speak out for love. In Jesus' name we shall be strong to lift the fallen, save the children, to fill the nation with your song. Let the flame burn brighter in the heart of darkness, turning night to a glorious day. Let the song grow louder as our love grows stronger. Let it shine. Let's sing again. You can stay seated, only for a little while though. Here we go. Oh, worship the King, oh, glorious Abba. Just stop. Did you hear that sound? That is you, this many people, you were belting it out. Let's do that again. That was great. Standing up, you reckon, Ian? Oh, okay. Even better, you reckon? Now he's lost his place. Oh, dear. Here we go. Oh, worship. That's amazing. Chloe's flapping already. You may sit down now. Oh, unless Ian wants you to stand for the notice.
No. You may sit. It's always interesting when you get to the end of a song and it always seems to slow down. And I think, why do we always slow down at the end of the songs?
That's because of me. I always slow down. I'm a slow down.
Because in life, you know, the song is just, you just stop and you go on with the next thing. You don't just slow down. But that's it. I could tell you. No, I won't. Will I can't. No. The notices.
You're not Pope. Pope normally does the notices.
Oh. Read your notice sheet. And read the grapevine. I had an order for saying this. The first one is about the planned giving program. If you haven't brought your response forms back, John Norton would love to have them back on behalf. And secondly, speaking of John Norton, I heard during the week that his brother Len died peacefully on Wednesday, and he'd been in declining health, so his death wasn't unexpected. And while John and Pam aren't here this morning, they're okay for you to know that. Secondly, somebody else that's not here this morning is little Alex, and he's going to have a bit of a procedure on Wednesday, so Chloe just wanted us to know that, to think about her little brother. Yes, yeah. The other things that we need to be aware of is that the kids' holiday fun, Bible fun event is on, not as you may have seen if you came in yesterday and saw the notice on the front door in April. It's on Thursday the 13th of July, or contact the church, the grapevine, where it's got the connection link. And the young people know how to do that, but so just tell them to have a look at the thing and do it. So that's important. The other things, you know, Home Alone is on Tuesday. And other things will happen. If you're not sure what's going to happen, David Macabana. There he is. Can't see you for the light.
It's shining off my head. Yes. Well, what are you going to say then?
You may want Rob's flowers. Just thought.
There's one other notice before we go. July the 2nd was my mother's birthday. She'd have been 108 today. So that's just thought you need to know that. Rob, got it?
Sorry, how to get someone undone in one easy lesson. I'm just bringing an update about David Pryor. And I've got a myriad of thoughts floating around my head from when Rob showed us these flowers and when we just sang Frail Children of Dust and Feeble as Frail in Thee Do We Trust. As we head out of winter into spring, buds begin to appear and blossoms begin to appear and in a sense resurrection happens. So what's that got to do with David? A lot with where he's at. Now, just so that you know, and I can't remember we've said it or not, in essence what the leadership team of the Vines has done with regard to David is keep in touch with Ellie and their son Isaac. And it's been, we've looked to them at opportunities to visit David, and their original request was that a couple of elders visit for the time being. And that's what we're trying to do. Marge and I visited David for the first time. I saw him on Friday, and I also saw him the Friday before, and we're going to try and continue that on a regular basis, subject to how he's doing and whether he can cope with that. So, having said that, Isaac sent me this message on Thursday. He's having a good week and a visit would be great. He's had some improvements over the past week and little by little is doing a bit better. When I saw him on Friday, Ellie and, did I say Ellie, Isaac and Isabel were there, so I was able to have a chat with them as well. And the improvements over the last week have been that he's been able to move his hips a little bit, and he's been able to move his feet a little bit. And on both visits for me, this Friday just gone and the Friday before, little smiles every now and then. He's also able to nod his head or shake it. Still at the moment has no speech. But he did say something to me on Friday, or mouthed something which I actually understood, and that was the first return communication I'd had apart from nods and shakes of the head. It's the challenge of healing is how often do we pray? And there's an example in the Gospels of Jesus healing a blind man who wasn't healed on the first shot, if I could be crude and call it that. And Jesus persisted. And I didn't just encourage us all to persist in our prayer for David primarily, but also for Ellie, Isaac, Isabel and Micah and their partners, because it's just the toughest of times for this family. And I think the prayer of the congregation for them all is greatly appreciated. Ellie reinforced that for me on Friday. So please keep praying. Don't give up. And little by little, my prayer for David is that, his body would thaw. And when I prayed for him on Friday with Isaac, the prayer was that it would happen, his healing would happen sooner than expected, although I don't know what the expectancy is. I think they simply don't know how long it will take. So he's on a long journey, but if we can pray for him, keep loving him in that way, and then as we go and visit little by little, it's not just me or Marge or Kristen visiting, it's the Vines congregation visiting and bringing visible evidence of our love and care. Thanks.
Thanks, David. I invite the children to come forward. You like to come over? How you all doing? I have with me a prop. What's this? I don't know. It's a cup. Yeah, there's actually a few cups around today. We've got a communion cup, we've got glasses, vases there. I saw Chloe with a little cup there before. What do we normally do with a cup?
Drink water from it.
Yeah, we can drink water from it. You can also use it as a little drum or anything, but normally it has water in it. Is that the only thing you can put in it? Do you like any other drinks to put in? What's your favourite?
Juice. Soda. Milk.
Covered all the good ones?
Fanta.
Oh, Fanta's nice. Yeah. Well, I did bring a little bit of cordial for us today. I know we normally have water in the kids' church, but we got some bit of cordial today, if that's all right with parents. But do you know that Jesus talked about a little cup in the Bible? He said, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. It's a good thing to give a cup of cold water to a little child. But what does Jesus mean by that? He said those to his disciples, and he said them, I think, to show us that even doing little things for other people makes a difference. We've been talking about that a bit, haven't we? Yeah. Even the smallest things we do to serve others and to show God's love to them matter. We don't have to be older, we don't have to be rich, we don't have to be really talented or famous to make a difference. We can just do little things and that makes a difference. Can you think of any little things that you can do that make a difference? What's something small that you can do for someone else? But
use kind words.
Is that what you're going to say too? Yeah, you can smile, you can hug, give something kind words, anything. Even just helping out your brother or sister, suggesting that they have a prayer. Yeah, being good for mum and dad.
Today I was having some roller skating with my little brother in my house.
Did you do that together? You're helping him roller skate? Yeah, lovely. So all of those things that we do, little things, they make a difference. And today in Children's Church, we're going to have a bit of a special project that will hopefully be a blessing to other people as well. Something little that we can do to help others. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we are never too small to make a difference and show others your love. Thank you for helping us. Please help us to always know what we can do to serve others and love them for you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stay for communion and then we'll go out to Children's Church.
And we're going to sing an amazingly good song that says, you can tell the Lord that you love him anytime. Song, kids' song, but it's for anybody. It's been hummed by me this week at Foodland and all kinds of places because it's been in my head. But the words go, you can tell the Lord that you love him anytime. You can tell the Lord that you need him anytime. Thank him for his love and care. Love and care. Shoot him up an arrow prayer. You can tell the Lord that you love him anytime. Amazing song. Amazing idea. Amazing thought. Let's sing it, eh? Standing up to sing. Here we go.
You can tell the Lord that you love him anytime. You can tell the Lord that you need him anytime. Thank him for his love and care. Shoot him up an arrow prayer. You can tell the Lord that you love him. Whatever you're doing at school, at lunch when you're kicking the ball, when you're chasing your mates all over the place, you can talk to the Lord of all. And you can tell the Lord that you love him anytime. You can tell the Lord that you need him anytime. Thank him for his love. Blown out by the view. Give thanks to shower his blessings, shower his blessings on you and you and you and you. And you can tell the Lord that you love him any time. You can tell the Lord that you need him any time. Thank him for his love. You can tell the Lord that you need him. You can tell the Lord that you love him anytime.
You certainly can. Thank you for that. Beautifully done.
In 1 Chronicles, it says in chapter 16, verse 29, ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. And today we bring our offerings of bread, the fruit of the vine, our gifts, our gifts of money, and remembering also our gifts that are given electronically, and our gifts of food for those in need. So let us pray. Generous and loving God, we bring these gifts with humility and gratitude. Bless all of these gifts and grant that by the power of the Holy Spirit they may be used wisely in the service of others to bring them and us eternal blessings and grace and signs of hope and love and Jesus. And to God be the glory forever. Amen. And now the table is ready. It's time to celebrate the sacrament. So let us pray. Holy God, we praise you. We bless you for your mighty acts of creation and that in your mercy you gave us your only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give thanks for his humble birth, for his life and ministry of love, for his sufferings and death on the cross, for his glorious resurrection and ascension, and for the promise that he will come again. And we praise you, O God, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the church he brought to birth, and for the power of word and sacrament. So pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts. And as we share in the body and blood of Christ, make us one with him, one with each other, and one in service to all the world. So be present, risen Lord Jesus, as you were with your disciples, and make yourself known to us in the breaking of the bread. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. On the night before he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. And when the meal was ended, he lifted the cup, again giving you thanks, and gave it to his friends and said, drink of it all of you, for this cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. For these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We're going to distribute the bread and the grape juice to you while we sing the next song. And if you're expecting to say the Lord's Prayer now, that's happening after a little later on. Please eat and drink after you've received the elements as you are ready. Thank you. the glasses after the service. But let us pray. God of grace and love, we thank you for this sacred meal shared in the Spirit with our Lord Jesus Christ. As we have been blessed, may we go into the world to be agents of grace for others, that they also may know God's peace, mercy, forgiveness, and love. May we go in peace, and may the peace of God go with us always as we love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's time now for our prayers to be followed by the Lord's Prayer. Our prayers for ourselves and others as the young people go out. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, as forgiven people who have received the bread and the grape juice in fellowship with Jesus, we come now to acknowledge that we still need forgiveness and we have already been forgiven. For if we have said or done things that have not brought you honour, or have not said and done something that bears witness to Christ's sacrificial love for us, forgive us. And as forgiven people, help us to bring to mind the people and the situations that need your love and healing. And so today we pray for your world. As we listen, watch and read about the violence and destruction that has impacted innocent people through wars and in places like Ukraine and North Africa, in homes and cities in France and Belgium and in other parts of the world. We know that this has impacted many innocent people, and our hearts overflow with righteous anger at why this continues. Bring peace to these places of conflict, Lord Jesus, not just to those places with ready access to television cameras, but also to those places that are the kind of hidden underbelly of the world, where life is so much more difficult. And Lord, we feel deeply the desperation and the anxiety that must be present for those people. And we commit them into your care. But we also pray that we may work in whatever way we can to help bring about that peace, your peace. And so we also pray for the world in which we all live, the physical place, that is, the places that are experiencing the fierce heat of midsummer, the places like us that are in the depth of midwinter cold, and those places where it's always or neither hot or cold. And so help us to remember that wherever on this planet that people live, and even where they don't, the air eventually mixes with that from everywhere else. So help us to remember that the planetary resources, like air and water and food, are limited, sometimes by how much we have available and sometimes by how it is unevenly distributed. And so, Lord, we pray that governments everywhere may manage those resources with wisdom and compassion in the best interests of all the people everywhere. And loving God, we pray for people near us, for Australia and its leaders, for all who live in this nation, regardless of their place of birth or family history, or whether they are distinguishable by being left or right-handed, or any other distinguishing characteristic that might divide one from another. Make us one, we pray, Lord Jesus. Make us unique and yet the same. For we are each a human being with a body, a mind and a soul. Bless our neighbours and help us to bless one another for Jesus' sake. And God of the world and God of the church, help us to remember that these various bodies of Christ, including this place we call the Vines Uniting Church, churches do not exist for their own benefit, but for the sake of those who are non-members. And so we pray that those who know Jesus will continue to serve with joy. And we pray that those who are searching will find hope and courage and a place to call home, a place of peace and encouragement. And we also pray for ourselves and those we know. May those who are hurting find healing. May those who are feeling the pain of loss and grief find comfort and hope. And may those who are unaware of their needs or think they have no needs, may they discover that for which they search and can live life in all its fullness. God of compassion, help us to also pray for ourselves and our needs, not carelessly, not selfishly, but because you, Lord Jesus, you love us. You want us to live an excellent life, using our God-given gifts to be healed from our hurts and with a continuing desire to model a peaceable, grace-filled, relationship-rich life that looks outwards towards the best for one another, as well as inward, so that it may be the best for us too. And so in this silence now, help us to reflect on our needs. And to reflect on the needs of those we love. And the needs too of those we don't know, but that we could help to bless in some way. These are our prayers we ask in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now it's time for the Bible reading.
Good morning, everybody. This morning's Bible reading is from Psalm 55, verses 1 to 2, 4 to 5, and 16 to 17. Complaint about a French treachery. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and answer me. I am troubled in my complaint. I am distraught. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fears and trembling come upon me. Horror overwhelms me. But I call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan. And he will hear my voice. This is the word of the Lord.
Here I am again, and here we are together. Last week, in talking about intentional faith development, I said that to be physically healthy, there are some things that we can do, like eat the right foods, get plenty of sleep, and have regular exercise. But I also said that to be spiritually healthy, we must work on deepening our connections with God through regular and intentional practices like prayer and Bible study. But today we start a new series of sermons on emotionally healthy spirituality and some of the factors that help us to be healthy in our relationship with Jesus and with other people. But let's begin with prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and open our ears and our eyes and our hearts to hear your word for us today. For Jesus' sake. Amen. There's a respected author and pastor called Gordon MacDonald who said in a leadership magazine a while ago, he said this, "I hated conflict as a child. When it occurred between my parents, I often felt a sense of responsibility to try and reconcile them. But I never succeeded because I was incapable of understanding the complexity of the underlying problems that so frequently separated them. When there was conflict between my parents and myself, I felt fear, humiliation, and a sense of insignificance because it never seemed, at least to me, that anyone cared to listen to my side of the story or to offer me the benefit of the doubt. No matter the issue, when adults were involved, I always seemed to come out the loser. And thus my preferred way of handling conflict in my younger years became the strategy of avoidance. How? By being super nice and convivial. By taking care to say nothing that might offend or create controversy. By quickly backing down when opposed. If conflict was inescapable, I usually capitulated as soon as I could and opted for peace at any price. Additionally, I tried to stay away or to run away from any relationship where I sensed the possibility of contentiousness." End of quote. Now, does that sound like you at times? It struck me as I read it and read it again that it is very similar to me in my early days. Perhaps it's still true. I'll check with her later. For this is not an emotionally healthy state. What can we do if we have difficulty in acknowledging our emotions, especially the strong ones that arise during conflict? So how can we be emotionally healthy, and how can we develop a spirituality or personal faith that is emotionally healthy? Well, in the Bible, there are lots of examples of raw, honest emotion being expressed. We heard one example earlier when David cried out in Psalm 55. You know, cried out to God saying, "Listen to my prayer, O God. My thoughts trouble me and I am distraught. My heart is in anguish. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I cry out in distress." You know, all those feelings expressed there. It's clear that something was happening. David was able to be very honest with God about his feelings. And in his trouble and anguish and fear and distress, he cries out expressing just how much he was feeling. There's no sweet, sugary, saccharine, niceness about it. It's no suppression of his feelings. It's just honest to God, gutsy truth-telling. But I wonder, is that the kind of stuff we generally hear from Christians today? Isn't it more often that when we have doubts or fears, or when we're concerned for our loved ones, when we're facing uncertain futures, don't we feel very uncomfortable in admitting that? Don't we tend to say, I'm fine, when people ask, you know, how we are? You know, even people we know who are caring and well-meaning people. If we have doubts about our faith or about some aspect of our faith or our Christian belief, don't we feel that there must be something wrong with us or wrong with our beliefs or our feelings? You know? But is this really so? Well, Paul said in Ephesians that we are to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And St. Augustine said much earlier, well, no, a little later, in AD 400, how can you draw close to God when you are far from your own self? And so he prayed, grant, Lord, that I may know myself, that I may know thee, that I may know God. And there was a Dominican writer, much later, from the 13th century, who wrote, no one can know God who does not first know himself or herself. Now, many Christians have learnt that feelings are unreliable and not to be trusted. They go up and down, and something that's not to be attended to in our spiritual lives. That's what we've learnt very often. Now, we're supposed to focus on our beliefs, our intellectual understandings, and to ignore those gut-level feelings within. The reality is actually quite different. If we truly believe that we are created in the image of God, then how do we account for the existence of our feelings? Doesn't that mean that if God created us as emotional, feeling human beings, that they are from God and that that's good? Because it is true that we do feel a wide range of emotions. And some people have grouped them in a simplified form under sad, mad, bad, glad, and blur. Others say they come in eight main families of anger, sadness, fear, enjoyment, love, surprise, disgust, and shame. And many people really struggle with naming and expressing their feelings, especially the more difficult feelings of fear and sadness and anger and depression or guilt. When we deny our pain and our losses and our feelings, we become less and less human. We become, as one writer said, empty shells with smiley faces painted on them. There's a conflict between the outward appearance and what's happening within. And so the journey to emotionally healthy spirituality begins with allowing ourselves to be real and to feel. And that's part of our humanity as men and women created in God's image. So consider these biblical verses. In Genesis 1, God delighted in his creation and said, God saw that it was good. In fact, it was very good. And in Genesis 6, verse 6, and the Lord was sorry that he had made humans on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. It's a strong feeling. And in Exodus 20, verse 5, we read, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. We don't think of jealousy as being nice, do we? Or the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 30, verse 24 said, the fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. Now, anger. And in the next chapter, Jeremiah 31, verse 3, says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. That's mercy. In the New Testament, just before Jesus was arrested, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. From Matthew 26. And in Mark 3 verse 5, he looked around them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he healed him. Now, Jesus sounds a tad frustrated and disappointed, doesn't he? He's distressed and he's angry that people were unwilling to accept the hope and the healing that he could offer. But it's not all gloom and doom or anger and distress for Jesus. Luke 10, verse 21 says that at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, did great things. You can read about it yourself. But you know, there's joy there too. And it is clear that God feels deeply. And if it's good enough for God and for Jesus, then who are we to deny our feelings? But the difficulty is not with us feeling joy and love and peace. Our difficulty is with feelings like anger and hate, depression and fear. Because we pretend we don't have those bad feelings. Because we're kind of worried that if we have them, God won't love or accept us. And so we stuff those feelings deep down within us. We're hoping that they'll just go away. I remember one of my fellow college students saying to me years ago, will the real Ian Kitto please stand up? See, he felt that I was hiding behind a mask and he called me on it. It's quite challenging at the time. I still remember it. You see, we hide behind a mask because aren't good Christians always loving and kind? That's what we think. And yet we know, you know, newsflash, sometimes we're not. Sometimes, like Jesus, some of us do get angry or afraid or depressed. And our emotional health and our spiritual health suffers. It stunts our growth in Christ. In their book, The Cry of the Soul, Dan Allender and Tremper Longman summarise why awareness of our feelings is so important. They say, ignoring our emotions is turning our back on reality. Listening to our emotions ushers us into reality. And reality is where we meet God. You see, emotions are the language of the soul. They are the cry that gives the heart a voice. And in neglecting our intense emotions, we are false to ourselves and lose a wonderful opportunity to know God. We forget that change comes through brutal honesty and vulnerability before God. End of quote. The good news of the gospel is that God has shown us in Jesus Christ how much he loves us. As forgiven, accepted and lovable creatures created in God's image, we are free to be all that we've been created to be. Human beings who can experience life in all its fullness, as John 10:10 says. And that's why we gather around his table like this, to recognise and remember how much he loves us, that he gave himself for us. We remember too the temptations that Jesus experienced in the wilderness, because in many respects they are our temptations too. They scream out the lie that God's love for you will never be enough. You know, you're not lovable. You're not good enough. If we hear that, we need to also hear that those are lies. They're not true. And so the first temptation is performance. You know, I am what I do. The devil said to Jesus when he was tempted, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. In other words, do something to be successful. And our culture today expects the same thing. You know, we ask, what are your accomplishments, your achievements, your successes? And the truth is that God loves us for who we are and not for what we do. And the second temptation is possession. You know, that is, I am what I have. When the devil showed Jesus the world and said, see all this stuff? Yeah. Without any of this, you're a nobody, you're nothing. Well, today, the pressure is applied on us by marketers and the media. They're saying, you have to have the latest gadget, have the nice clothes, the most money, the status, the awards, the toys. What we really need is to know that God loves us. He said, you are my child, Ian, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Just put your own name there in Mark 1 verse 11. You are my child, God says to us. My child whom I love. The third temptation is popularity. It says, I am what others think of me. The devil said to Jesus, throw yourself down from the top of the temple so that when you save yourself, people will believe how great you are. We're also tempted and seduced by the way our self-image soars with a compliment and is devastated by criticism. The truth is that we are already lovable and good enough for God. And it doesn't matter what other people think. You see, Jesus was secure in who he was. And in living his life, in being faithful to his true self, he still disappointed a lot of people, like his family. They wondered if he was out of his mind. What's wrong with him? And the people who grew up with in Nazareth, they tried to push him over a cliff. But he walked through safely. And his closest friends, the 12 disciples, they wanted him to be their kind of Messiah, which did not include being nailed to a cross. Yet Jesus continued to love and accept and to teach them. And Jesus gave his life out of love for others, not because that is what they wanted him to do. When we know who we truly are, we'll be free from those temptations and their consequences too. And so how can we be our true, authentic self? Well, here's a few ways, four ways. The first is, pay attention to your interior in silence and solitude. You know, what's happening within you? You know, it's often necessary for us to be alone so that we can properly listen to God. Because then we're without the distractions that keep us from paying attention to what's happening inside. The distractions that come from other people and what they want from us and us to do. See? And so one way that we can pay attention is to write down our feelings and our ideas and how we feel about that incident when someone was critical of us. Because journaling takes time. Writing it down. To journal is to stop. And to ponder. And then to describe what happened and how you felt and how you felt about how you felt and what might God be saying to you through all that stuff. In this busy world, in this buzzy world, taking time to stop and do that is countercultural. And yet it's really, really important. It's also very biblical. You know, Moses went off alone and God spoke to him through a burning bush. Elijah went off alone and God spoke to him in the whisper of complete silence. Jesus went off alone and he was renewed. He needed that. And so do we. If we need to slow down, to create space for silence and solitude and so we can hear God, that's likely to mean that our spirituality will be emotionally healthy too. So pay attention to what's happening. Secondly, find trusted companions for your journey. Because of the enormous pressure we face from others, and because of our own stubbornness, we can easily fall into the trap of living in illusion, and under a delusion. So we need mentors, or spiritual directors, or counsellors, or mature friends, significant others, people who can help us to pay attention to God and to be real. Somebody who says, what did John say to me, Darren? Will the real Ian Kiddo please stand up? Don't hide. Don't pretend. So pray for someone that you can trust and respect to call you on stuff and help you walk this journey to an emotionally healthy spirituality. And it may be that God will suggest or give you someone quite surprising. But it's so we can pay attention to what God is saying. And thirdly, move outside of your comfort zone. This is the tricky one, especially as we get older. Because it can feel quite awkward at first as we explore our true selves. We have to allow humility and grace to be God's gift to us. Because it isn't easy to know our true self. It can be quite scary to realise who we truly are. But give it a go. There's an author and a pastor called Peter Scazzaro who says, the greatest gift we can give the world is our true self living in loving union with God. The biblical commandment is this. We are to love our neighbour as ourselves. Not just love our neighbour, not just love ourselves, but both. And how can we do that? How can we love our neighbours well unless we love ourselves? There's a story of Rabbi Zusha, who, when he was an old man, said, in the coming world they will not ask me, why were you not Moses? They will ask me, why were you not Zusha? Be yourself, your true self. And so pray for courage. When we begin to live our true self in Christ, there will be a reaction from those close to us. Because when we give up our old ways, there's often pressure from others to change back. You know, go off to theological college and they say, don't let them change you. And yet that's what God's role is, to change us from within, to make us more Christ-like. And so I encourage you to persist in your journey towards emotionally healthy spirituality by exploring and growing towards your true, authentic self. Keep adapting, keep trying new things, tolerate the opposition, and pray for the Holy Spirit's power to continue to work within you. You see, getting to know yourself so that you might know God is the adventure of a lifetime. And it takes a lifetime that we need to live. As St. Augustine prayed, grant, Lord, that I may know myself, that I may know thee that I may know God. Let us pray. Lord, help me to be still before you. Lead me to a greater vision of who you are, and in so doing, may I see myself, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Grant me the courage to follow you, to be faithful, to become the unique person you have created me to be. I ask for the Holy Spirit's power to not copy another person's life or journey. And God, submerge me in the darkness of your love so that my false self, my mask, falls away like a soiled garment. And may my true self fall into your presence, knowing you alone, and be carried away into eternity like a dead leaf in an autumn wind. These are our prayers, all of us. We ask them in the name of Christ. Amen. And we're going to sing a song called... Well, we were going to sing a song called... Can we sing it, Comfort, Comfort?
Well, we'll sing Comfort, Comfort.
I know it's a bit long. The service communion adds a bit. But we need to sing this as well.
Okay. I'm happy with that. That's why I chose it. But I thought you might be thinking, rock. How many songs did you want to sing today? Let's sing Comfort, Comfort.
So what are we playing?
Comfort, Comfort. We're doing it. Forget that last 3 minutes.
Every pain will
have great comfort. All our sins are taken away through Jesus. And because of Jesus, we can go out into the world and be real. The people God created us to be. So go in peace. And may you bless and heal the world through your acts of love and grace. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, be upon us and remain with us always. Amen.
Four lines of song. It's a fantastic song. We have to sing it. It says it's called a Christmas blessing, but we're going to sing it. Christmas is a whole word. Christmas is 365 days of